basically, you transitioned from the culinary arts into videography. Then by way of San Francisco, you got inspired probably by all of the software engineers that you were finding yourself around. And then you went to Stanford for a little bit and you said, you know what? I can code. I'm going to go and do this. With the help of ChatGPT and Upwork, you've been able to create Deep Crura. And I am really excited to hear what exactly the inspiration behind this was. Why did you decide to create Deep Crura, and what is the pain that you're trying to solve for?
Sure, absolutely. So the way I think about it is I think in my head, like I have like an inventory, right? Like a knowledge inventory. And now that I think about my past, is the pattern that I never really think about it. I think this in some way was intuitive. But now that I think backwards, in hindsight, is more like I was trying to build a web based on the inventory of my knowledge. And based on what I had, it was like using sort of like this recipe, analogy recipe, right? I had these ingredients, so I'm going to make this dish, right? So it's exactly what I've been doing. And the reason why Deep Crura, it was just a combination of the market, meaning that, you know, the advertising industry was dead. And then healthcare, you know, I also before, I had like a little between the transition from beta production to coding, I did a little bit of trading. You know, everyone was a trader with cryptocurrencies, you know. So I did a little bit of that and I learned about markets like you know, that's how certain industries perform better in a recession. So I just know that the healthcare industry is like a defensive market, right? So my hypothesis was, you know what? Now that things are really down, healthcare is always like a good industry, right? Like even if it's in a recession, that was my hypothesis. So I thought, you know what? Let's transition, let's do coding. And what really gave me the confidence of transitioning this industry was the combination of working with AI medical scribes since 2018, and also the fact that ChatGPT and AI was so powerful to code, you know, or you can really. So if you're creative enough and you have like a good understanding of concepts or at least the architecture, you can give that to ChatGPT, and obviously it will give you a code full of bugs, you know, but if you work hard enough, you can solve those bugs on your own and then just move to the next step. And really, the way that I've been handling the roadblocks, you know, have been through ChatGPT and Upwork, and pretty much that has been my strategy. Now, of course, the greatest part is that every time that I get into a roadblock, I learn from it, and that gets like permanently stored in my mind, right? So I gain. So basically, through Deep Crura, it's paying my knowledge and my experience. Like instead of going to university, I'm being paid to learn. And I think that's the greatest hack I've been able to accidentally learn, you know, in the industry.
Well, I have to say, you are one of the lucky ones that can learn something and then remember it. I learn something and then I forget it about 20 minutes after I learn it. So that is a nice skill to have, or a blessing, I guess, that you have been blessed with, and me not so much.
Sorry that I interrupted you, but let me fair to be on that for the people. I'm exactly the same like you, but I feel like I only remember the things that I feel passionate about, and that's the only reason why I remember. If I wouldn't care, I have forgotten everything that I have learned in high school so far. You know, you cannot ask me about algebra or anything like that. I just wanted to say that to be fair too as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. It gives you a lot more of an attachment to something if you are passionate about it and you're learning about it, and that passion shines through, and make sure that it gets stored in the memory bank somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So talk to me about what Deep Crura does.
Sure. Yeah, so we are an AI medical scribe company, and we basically automate the workflows of physicians. It can also be the workflows of hospitals, but mainly right now, the company attracts mostly individual providers and small practices. The reason being is we're a young company, so it's very hard for a hospital to say, oh, yeah, let's go with this 9-month-old startup, right? So the best part of this is that it's like momentum, right? Once you conquer like the small niche, you know that the voice passes around and then the hospitals are like, oh, they're doing this. And then they evaluate their current solution. They're like, wait a second, our current solution can do like computer vision. So then they get curious. And then they will have to pressure their current solution, or simply just like give up and say, oh, okay, let's at least analyze your AWS cloud to see if you're actually HIPAA compliant. And then we can talk, which obviously we are open to because we are actually 100% HIPAA compliant. But I think that's what I imagine it will be their perspective. But it's really hard, you know, it's really hard to sell to a hospital for the same reason.
Knowing your background and knowing that you jumped in head first into the healthcare space, how did you learn what the workflows were that you needed to automate?
Sure. Yeah. So a very popular misconception that people get in the healthcare industry is that you need a doctor in your team, or the doctor needs to be a co-founder. And I'm going to tell you why that is not the case. The reason why that is not the case, because when you are serving physicians, you have 100 doctors that are actually giving you direct feedback on real time, and their feedback is way better. The reason why is because they're actually paying you to solve their problems. So they're going to give you harsh feedback. Like, they're not going to like be polite. They're going to tell you, you know what, like this sucks, or you have to do this, or we would like this feature. And then also you can add on top of that, you can be more aggressive and also ask them, like be active about it. And then you actually get better feedback than having a doctor co-founder, because you have like 100 sources of clinical feedback. So you actually gather an incredible amount of very rich knowledge from different specialties. So you become really smart if you really take that approach. So I just wanted to throw that in, because it's something that I get pretty common, that people, when they are in healthcare, they think they need to be a doctor. But no, you just need to, obviously, if you're in the tech industry, in the healthcare ecosystem, obviously you need to know the tech aspect, because you need to take care of that, right? The app works and all of that. But from a clinical perspective, I think that outlier approach can actually be beneficial.
Yeah, you're getting decentralized learning in a way.
Yeah.
You're getting many people giving you feedback, as opposed to just one who is opinionated because they do it this way and this is how everyone should do it. Or
exactly. And I don't know, actually, just responding to your question. The reason why I joined healthcare is again based on the inventory and my experience and the things that I know, and that's how I've been actually increasing my knowledge, and that's pretty much it.
And what are some of these workflows that you're helping expedite?
Yeah, sure. So we started with clinical workflows, meaning just nodes, meaning SOAP nodes, HMP nodes, all of that. But really, the way we broke through, or the things that we're doing different, and something that we're not doing that our competitors are actually doing, or their mistake, was they were trying to hard code a specific node. I want to try to use an analogy. Let's say that the tech companies and the applications were trying to make a default node for doctors, basically automate a specific node with specific parameters, right? The problem lies that every doctor not only is a different specialty, but they also have different writing styles. So DeepQRM, what it makes it truly different is that we give the entire freedom to the physician to decide how exactly they want the note, what clinical headers they want to add, meaning family history, social history, and another more medical jargon type of headers, I will say, to not confuse people. But not only that, we even go deeper in the layer, meaning that on each clinical header, you can add sub instructions. So you get the note, And then you also instruct how you want specific headers, meaning you want it in bullet points, number list. And then now we're going to even in an extra layer that no one is doing, which is basically analytics per header. So you can say, for family history, give me an analytical spreadsheet for this header. And then the AI, the way it's able to make that spreadsheet is based on the patient conversation. So every time we try to go deeper and deeper, and I think that's our main edge, the only downside for this approach is that doctors, they need to have small degree of tech savviness, you know, to know how to write prompts and all of that. But that's why, you know, we have 24/7 support and clinical prompt engineering doctors that can help them with the prompts and how to make and automate their notes. And now we're just doing more things like telehealth and pre-sharding and cloning the voices of the doctors, you know, if they want to like automate most of that note. And then they come in and then they finish it. So yeah, pretty cool things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you say the analytical piece of it, do you mean that you want to know how many times that doctor or other doctors have looked at this person's data?
When I say analytical aspect can entail many things, right? But I'm going to give you an example. So a pretty popular one right now. It's complex. So let's say if I go to the lab header, right? The lab results. Usually in the notes, it will be in bullet points. Most of our competitors, they do like in bullet points. It will summarize the lab results, right? But what you can do in DeepCura is you can add a sub-instruction and say, give me an analytical spreadsheet of the lab results. And what it will do is it will analyze and it will create a little, like an Excel spreadsheet or however you want to call it, a table. It will create a table, you know, with all of the values. So basically, you have the healthcare data visualized in the way you prefer. So you can have bullet points or you can have tables. And then, so basically, that is the point that we give the option and the freedom to doctors to decide how they want to visualize their notes. So that's pretty much it.
Wow. Okay. Healthcare seems like, and working with doctors in general, seems like it's one of these areas that is difficult to break into as far as getting sales. And you did touch on it a minute ago when you said, when you're in, then people start talking and then you get that word of mouth, especially if you have a product that people love. And it's inspirational to see how you have been able to focus so much on building a product that doctors love, and it's catching on because of that. And then you did not let obstacles get in your way. And whenever they arose, it's like there's no voice in your head, I guess, that's saying, I can't do that. You are really, in a way, you just overcome any kind of voice that is trying to deny you the ability of being able to do something, which I find immensely inspirational.
I appreciate that very much, man. So basically, the reason why I like it so much for me is so most of my competitors, they have like an average of like $40 million in funding and all of that. So we are a very small team.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why, when I get so many messages from doctors or clients saying that they have tried X solution and they say that they like way more our solution. And when they say that, I don't know if it's like, I think it's just like competitiveness in a good way. I just feel very excited, like a video game, right? So I'm like, wow, we're doing this with very small resources. And but you know what? I think now in this era of AI, being small is definitely an advantage in terms of like speed. I mean, if you have like a small group of 10x engineers, you can definitely outperform, you know, a public company. Right now, the reason why is because AI is like every week, every month, you know, has these incremental levels of innovation. So basically, AI right now is redefining the structures of everything, you know. So what happens is when you change the entire foundation of a public company or how you can produce a service, and you have these kind of breakthroughs, you need really minimal resources to outperform, you know, even entire companies, because the entire foundation has been restructured, you know, from an engineer perspective or a technological perspective. So that is the main edge. Basically, you really have to redefine yourself and readapt at your company, your entire company, like every month, I guess, or even faster, because as I mentioned, including DeepGram, right? We're fans of DeepGram. You know, you guys are every month releasing new features. So you really need to keep on with that and integrate. I think it's just like a game of who is the fastest on integrating like all of these new solutions. And really that comes down into benefiting the end user, right? And your users. So once your users, they are aware that you have that speed of like, oh, wait a second, these guys this week also integrated this, or they have this new feature. They're like, oh, wow. So they trust you that, you know, you won't let them down. But if they are in another company and they see the same product, then, you know, I think that might lead them to change, you know, to use a different product. But yes, in a nutshell, that's why I wanted to say that the reason why I like it so much, this industry, and for me, this is just like a game. Obviously, healthcare is not a game. That's why from day one, you know, addressing one of the other topics you mentioned, it's harder to enter into this industry because the regulations are harder, meaning like HIPAA compliance. It's very hard to achieve. It took me like 2 months of studying, and I'm being serious. Like, you can just Google or ask ChatGPT. Like, you have to make so many controls from a technological perspective and on AWS. It's like a whole nightmare if you start from zero. So we were able to do that from the beginning. So with the help of really experienced people. But anyway, I just want to say that I think I just really like it a lot because we're a small team, but we are powerful and we have AI now. So that's a huge edge in today's world.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying with even HIPAA compliance, you wouldn't let that stand in your way. And I wonder, have you had any other trouble when it comes to regulation?
Right now, the two major ones are always like HIPAA compliance and FDA. So also, another thing that only us and another competitor, well, it's not a direct competitor because they're really just focused on AI-assisted diagnosis. Well, DeepCure was also the first one on being bold in the sense of we're not only going to automate your notes, but also we're going to give you suggestions like AI-assisted diagnosis based on the patient transcript.
Right.
So luckily, you know, the FDA has clearly defined a whole paper where they tell you the rules of how you can make an AI-assisted diagnosis app without problems. And the formula in a nutshell is basically, so first of all, it has to be non-device. So you cannot, your application cannot actually be hardware. So it has to be non-device. And also all the advice, it has to come from sources. So meaning the way we have it in DeepCura is when you make an account, we force you to add context from your preference. Here's another, I'm going to need like 5 seconds because it's a little complex. So one of our competitors, their hypothesis is okay, we're going to make the clinical knowledge base, right? And we're going to force doctors, trust, or black box, and we're going to give them the treatment plans, right? The approach that DeepCura proposes is way different and more transparent in the sense that we give you a Cura, the AI model, but your responsibility is to bring your own scientific and clinical knowledge base, because the reason why is every doctor, they trust a different source. They want some of them, they trust UpToDate, other Dynamed. So basically, everyone has a different Bible, right? Or different clinical religion, if you want to call it like that. So it's very hard to convince to a doctor and tell them like, oh, you're going to trust our AI and it has our bias. It's going to be very hard. One time we tried to do something like that with PubMed. And doctors say, like, PubMed? Like, you're out of your mind. We're not going to use that, never. Like, because for them, PubMed is like a joke, right? They don't like that. So in a nutshell, the approach that we are proposing is you bring obviously your patient recording and you bring your knowledge base that you curate yourself. So basically DeepCura uses that as a context and the patient recording, and that's how it's able to propose the AI clinical plans. And the FDA is okay with that because basically you're adding scientific sources. So you basically have like a good foundation, like a legitimate clinical foundation. So that's how we were able to propose that. So, but yes, in a nutshell, FDA and HIPAA compliance are definitely the top two ones. And the rest is just, you know, the doctors, they're pretty aware when they assign the terms and conditions that, you know, they have to supervise the note. We don't provide medical advice. The AI basically is just there to summarize and give them structure the data based on their prompt, their direction. So they're okay with that. And so that's pretty much how everything runs.
Now, you mentioned doctors, sometimes they still need to be good at writing prompts. So does that mean that they are there and it's on them to make sure that they create the best prompts to do what they want to do? Or do you give them templates for prompts and then they can execute them? How does that work?
Sure. So once you go to Cura, we have a section called How to Mimic Your Writing Style. And it's great because it includes templates by a specialty of, you know, of some of our doctors that are really good by nature. You know, they create some amazing prompts, and the quality of their notes are like, wow, you know, even better. It outperforms, you know, in some cases, most AI medical scribes. That's what they have told us. But that's because the doctor has a really good understanding of how prompt engineering works. And in a nutshell, for the people that don't know what prompt engineering is, it's how good you are to give the AI instructions, right? Just, which in a nutshell, again, it's just giving clear instructions that the AI can understand, just plain and simple. But obviously, when you're talking about notes, with more than psychiatrists, they have notes with 100 headers, you know, or something like that. So extremely long notes. So some of our users are really good in psychiatry for that. But we have the templates, and we also have, again, the doctor. We actually hire doctors, you know, on our end. And so it's like doctor meets doctor, and they talk with their same language. But the difference is that our doctors are trained with this prompt engineering stuff, so they can pass and they can translate with their own lingo, and they can, you know, speak the same language, and everyone is happy. And that formula has proven quite good, you know, so that they understand how to make the notes in a great way.
And you are recording the conversations, and then the doctor throws in some kind of a prompt to summarize the conversation transcript, and then have the notes from that conversation. Is that what it is? So the doctor-patient meet, you record that conversation, then there's a summary of that conversation that the doctor can have.
Yeah, so let me tell you the workflow. Basically, we have like many advantages over ChatGPT. So one of them is prompt shortcuts, which I don't even know why ChatGPT has not employed this. Which is basically, you know, if you're using
ChatGPT, don't say it too loud.
Yeah, right. But no, we have many things. You know, like here's another thing that I'm not really concerned about is that, you know, HIPAA compliance, right? You really need HIPAA compliance to sell these things to the healthcare industry. But in the next following weeks, we're going to release so many features that are so like healthcare specific. There's no way, well, who knows, right? But hopefully ChatGPT won't employ these features. But anyway, what we do is we have the prompt shortcuts. So basically you create all of your prompts, you know, which they very detailed, include the instructions for all of the headers. Or if you have very simple notes, you can just make very simple prompts, but they can also include your knowledge base. And obviously right now we're using an engine that has like 100,000 tokens. So you can add a whole, like entire articles as context along with your notes. So basically the whole point is that with a click, you load your prompt and that's it. So the process is you start the recording, stop the recording, load your prompt. You have a list of prompts that you save, and then you submit, and then basically you will get back the transcript. In this case, accurately processed by DeepCura, which is one of the best in the industry. And something that we add on top of that is we scan the transcript and we highlight, you know, the high liability parameters, meaning symptoms, meaning insurance. So all of that stuff is highlighted in different colors. And then the AI takes a look at the transcript and then makes the note based on your prompt. So that's the workflow. And then you can do more cool stuff. Like I say, we're doing different than ChatGPT. There's no way they're going to do this, I'm so sure, is that we're not using we have the thread, the same thread, but every time you make a note, you know, it has no knowledge of previous context, but you can activate.
Oh, yeah.
You can activate the context with a button if you want by saying, ask your entire thread. And I'm going to tell you the benefits for this, extremely big for the healthcare industry, which is, as you know, the more you use ChatGPT in a thread, you know, it contaminates itself with past information. So once, let's say you are in the thread, I this happens to me, I'm coding sometimes, and in the sixth time that I click submit on ChatGPT, it gives me like a very lame or like a very low quality response. So I'm like, oh no, I have to restart the thread and I have to pass the context again. So obviously you cannot do this in healthcare, you know, it will be a disaster. So that's why we employ this different architecture where you can manually, if you want, you have that option to add the context or not. And the great thing that this allows you is that you can, with the button, you can make a whole document, like a discharge summary, and you can load all of the notes from the thread. Let's say that you saw the patient last week and also 2 days ago and today. So you can load all of those threads as context, and then you can create new documents for insurance or for whatever purpose. But in this case, the context is being triggered manually by the physician. And this way, every time they make a note, it's completely clean, you know, and the output is like virgin, you know, it's like a funny word choice that I'm using, but it's completely virgin. So it's very hard to hallucinate in this case.
I love hearing about this. I really appreciate you talking to me about it. And I'm so happy for your success. I look forward to getting updates and seeing more of what you all are doing in the startup community that we've got going. And this has been awesome, man. Like I told you before, but I'm going to say it again. It's inspirational to talk to you and see how you don't take no for an answer, and you're willing to go and overcome any challenge that you're hit with.
Oh man, you're such an amazing host. I'm really thankful, and you will do great as a host anywhere, man. Anywhere. So I really appreciate that. And thank you to DeepGram for all the support. You know, you guys have been wonderful, and it plays a huge role in our success, you know. So very thankful for the quality of the technology and how that is benefiting our company and also our users as well.
We'll talk to you soon then, man.
Sounds great. Let's keep in touch.